Is up, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the AK Show with your boy AK the Ref. How is everybody doing on this Wednesday afternoon? Happy hump day. You're almost to the weekend. Let's get it. Let's go. As you see, I'm very, very happy to be back on here. You know, I did do a show last week because certain things were going on and then certain things happened, and I just wanted to give it some time. You know, I didn't get a chance to do a Super Bowl preview show, which is okay. It's fine. Shit happens. I just got busy and the day before had a lot of stuff to do, so didn't get to that. But we're here. We're back on the AK Show. And if you were living under a rock or just sleeping for the last week, you can see it on my hat. That says Super Bowl champs, Chiefs, Super Bowl champs, yeah, Super Bowl champs, 58, back, two in a row, consecutive, on our way, trying for a three-peat. Now, I'm not going to say three-peat gonna happen, but I will lose my fucking mind if they three-peat it. I will lose all bodily control function. I'll be like, I don't know what to do. I would just run down the street and be like, I would have no words. I wouldn't have anything. But I tell you, like, I'd be celebrating like a motherfucker, though. Like I was this one. Bro, so great. But yes, we are Super Bowl 58 champions, back to back. Let's fucking go. You gonna hear it from me every week. It may not be every day. Every week, I'm gonna let you know. She's the Super Bowl champs. And we're gonna keep that going until the next season starts. So, and the next season starts basically when training camp starts. Yeah, so we're gonna keep this going on. What we got? Training camp starts at the end of July. What we in February, and then we got March, April, May, June, part of July. We got about 5.5 months if you're just gonna hear this. And if you want to get technical until the we can still do this until the regular season, week one starts. That's about 6.5 months around there. So we keep that going on. I'll probably keep it going. You know what? To be honest, it really is not over. Yeah, week one, because the first home game of the Chiefs, they'll do a presentation of, you know, celebrating their Super Bowl victory, dropping the banner, and things like that. So, I mean, maybe after that, we could just stop talking about it. But I mean, when training camp starts, I'll probably be like, let's get it. Now it's the work. Now it's really focused in. I mean, players will be focused in before then, but like as a fan, yeah, I'm gonna keep this going on the way up to training camp, maybe even to the start of week one, and maybe even when they do the presentation of dropping another banner is when I'll stop talking about it. So, you know, but I'm gonna keep talking. I'm talking my shit. I can talk. Season's over. We won. And next season ain't started yet. Until that happens, I'm gonna keep talking. It may not be every day, you know, on social media. It'll be at least once a week. It'll be on this show, too. I will be every show, I will have this hat on to remind you that the Kansas City Chiefs are back-to-back champs. Let's get it. Let's go. Let's get another cheer. I don't know if this is playing through, but I have a cheering. Yes, we get that cheering. You know what I'm saying. Kansas City Chiefs, baby. Let's go. Oh, my God. It's been a... But on tap, what I have today... I just want to talk about the game, before I even get into the game, yeah, I just want to just go over the game. You know, I'm not going to go into too much detail. You know, I'll get to that in a minute. Just going over the game and how I felt watching it and some key plays and things like that. But before we get to the game, if you don't know what happened last Wednesday in Kansas City, last Wednesday we had the Chiefs had their parade. In light of winning the Super Bowl, and you know, everything was going great. And even like the entire thing went off. You know, the parade, then the rally. You know, we finished. You know, Travis Kelce was drunk and shit was funny. You know, people just having a blast, right? And then, unfortunately, a fight, an argument broke out, and then individuals started pulling guns and started shooting. A lady lost her life named Lisa Galvin Lopez. What was it, 11 kids between the ages of 6 to 15 got shot. I know 22 victims were shot. One sadly passed away, and shit like that, man. I don't even have words. It's like shit like that just is unfucking called for. Like, what even started this fucking argument? Why the fuck are you coming to this celebratory where everybody's supposed to be happy? We're all celebrating the Chiefs' second Super Bowl, back-to-back champions, third Super Bowl in what, 5 years, third championship, and we're out here arguing about, I don't even know, like what caused it. I remember I wasn't at Union Station. We were on the parade route. As soon as the parade route finished with us, we went back to the car, went to go get something to eat on Southwest Boulevard. We're eating. We're watching a rally. We're listening. We're having a good time. It's good vibes, right? You know, as soon as Travis Kelce got up there and started talking, I'm like, oh, yeah, he drunk. Like, he was gone. I was laughing. My own daughter was recording the TV in the restaurant we're eating at. I was like, oh, my God, somebody needs to get bro on stage. But this shit was funny. And he could do him. Like, I'm not going to say it was embarrassing. I thought this shit was funny. He's having a great time. I mean, he won this fucking Super Bowl. What the fuck do you expect? Like, we're going to have a good time. We're going to party. We're going to get drunk. It is what it is. I mean, shit, last year, you seen, what was it? Was it Joshua Williams? Bro didn't even make it to the parade. Like, he was gone. They had to, like, roll him out. I think it was Joshua Williams. Don't quote me on that. But last year's parade, they had to wheel him out in the wheelchair before the parade even started. Like, he couldn't even get on the bus. He had too much to drink. So, that's what we do. We win championship. You go celebrate. But, you know, I'm at the restaurant watching. They go off the stage. Instead of Mitch Holter says the last few words, they get off the stage. Right, the newscasts, they're still reporting from there about like how great this was, and then all of a sudden they're like, a situation's happening. I'm watching the TV, and I see people running and ducking. I'm like, I knew immediately. I was like, somebody's shooting. I was like, I know, like when people are ducking and hiding, is somebody's shooting, and it just kept going on and on and on. And at one point, you see all these officers, law enforcement people just run into Union Station. I'm like, oh, fuck, the fucking players and coaches and, like, people in the organization are in there. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is going to get bad really fast. And also, we're still watching. And then they say, yeah, there was a shooting. I already knew it was a shooting. I know that all too well. When I was 14, I got shot. Just line of fire. Got shot in my leg when I was 14 going into a restaurant after a baseball game. Yeah, it was late at night, but I mean, we always go to this restaurant. Never had any problems. But yeah, that, I know that all too well. So as soon as I saw people running and ducking, I was like, oh, somebody's shooting. And I thought it was like, I didn't know it was going to be that serious. I thought it was just something like maybe somebody was shooting off celebratory shots. But I was like, then all of a sudden people running, cops running to fucking Union Station, people running. And if you, like, watch it, you see some people ducking, you see other people like, what's going on? Like, they didn't know because some people thought it was fireworks. And like, guns sometimes do sound like it's just fireworks going off. That's even when I got shot, I thought it was a firework at first until I realized I'm bleeding from my leg and shit hurts like fucking hell. And then, but yeah, so... But when I saw people ducking, I was like, oh, shit, somebody's shooting. I'm like, what is going on? And all of a sudden, like, a couple minutes later, like, 8 people injured. I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck is going on? And then I get to the house. I get back to the house, and all of a sudden it says, looking on the phone on the news, one person died. I was like, oh, my God. One person dead? Really? Shit was fucked up. And then, like, I had been drinking, so, like, when I got home, and then I just kind of, like, passed out on the couch. Wake up, like, 2 hours later, the news is on the TV, 22 people shot, one dead. I was like, how the fuck did we get from 8 to 22? I was like, oh my god. And then come to find out, shooting wasn't just some, like, random, I mean, it wasn't, like, a planned thing where they went there to fucking shoot, but, like I said, why are you bringing these guns to a parade? Like, what are you? You're already looking for trouble. Like, you want protection? I mean, it's not about that. It's like and then I read the guns were stolen, so they didn't even have them legally anyway. But the whole thing is like, why are you coming down there? Just why like that? You get into arguments. What? I don't even know what the fucking argument was over, but I could just see it happening. Them bumping into each other and then them starting shit. Shit like that is pointless. Senseless ass shootings over nothing. Because you had a disagreement with somebody? Get the fuck, grow the fuck up. Grow the fuck up. You have a good, somebody bumps into me, I'm sorry. If somebody bumps into me, I'm like, and they say this, I'm like, cool, whatever. If I bump into somebody, oh, my bad, that was my bad. But if somebody bumps into me and they don't say the sorry, I'm not going to call shit over. I'm going to be like, oh, whatever. I'm just going to keep moving. Because there's crazy people out there. There's people that are going to do dumb shit. I'm not going to get into a fight. I'm not going to get into an argument. I'm going to get stabbed or shot because somebody bumped into me or stepped on my fucking shoe. Unless they're threatening my life. Then we got issues. Or you're threatening my kid's life. Then we got issues. You know, if it's like life-threatening, somebody bumps into me. Like, something simple like that. I step on my shoe. Life's too short. I ain't gonna get into an argument, but these dumbass motherfuckers arguing and then shooting at each other in a crowded area. Oh, my God. Fucking dumb shits. I swear. And now, I know two were charged yesterday, and then I looked on the news later today. As of right now, this is Wednesday. I'm, like, recording this on Wednesday. It would be released this evening, but I've seen that, I guess, two other people had been charged as well, so four total. So, I mean, they're going to get what they deserve. There's consequences to your actions when you do dumb shit like this that could have been just avoided. Oh, get into an argument. I'm just going to keep it moving. I don't have time for this. I'm going to go home. It's silly. It's dumb. Now look, 22 injured, one dead. Not 11 of those were children. Why? Why? Because somebody looked at you the wrong way? Somebody bumped into you? Somebody said something to you? Why? It's pointless. Fucking pointless. So that's why I just say, be careful. Like, if somebody bumps into you, just let it go. Like, there's no point in getting into an argument with it. But, after that happened, like, my whole, like, fucking level just went down. Like, I was excited. And then after that happened, just, like, I wasn't even at Union Station at the rally. It could have been. Because I know my cousin on my wife's side were like, you want to go down there? I kind of wanted to go down there, too, because I knew, like, Nick Wright, who's from Kansas City, who works for Fox Sports 1. You know, they're doing their show First Things First from down there. I was like, I kind of want to go down there and see if we can see nothing. So we thought about going down, so we could have been down there. Shit could have happened to us, too. But we didn't, and then, like, the next day, I just felt sad. Like, listening to sports talk radio locally, all they were doing was, like, anybody wants to call in and needs to vent, or if you were there, an eyewitness, I just felt sad. Like, last Thursday, I felt sad all fucking day. I had no energy, I had no excitement. I don't know what it was. I get home, I can admit this, I turn it on First Things First. You know, I've been listening to sports talk after work, before work, and then after work, listen to sports talk on the radio. You know, talking to some people about it at work, because I work as a PE teacher, so I know a few students were at the rally and were there, and then one kid playing it off like he's not, I'm not talking about like, he's just playing it off like, yeah, I was there and I was near it. Like, just all calm and cool, trying to keep us cool, but I don't know, but, yeah, the whole time I was just feeling sad. I get home, watching, Nick Wright on Fox Sports 1 on First Things First, and, the other two, on the show, Wilds and Broussard start talking to him. I'm sitting there and I'm watching him talk, and then Wilds started talking. He seemed kind of sad, like he wanted to cry. And I was just like, damn, shoot, I was feeling, because they were down there. They had to, like, get away. Like, they were broadcasting right by Union Station where the rally was. So he's talking, I was just like, I feel sad, too. He started tearing up. I started tearing up. He was trying to fight it back. Nick Wright started talking. I started crying. I just lost it. I just started crying. I don't know what it was, why I felt that sad. It's just, I just did. I couldn't explain it. Shit shouldn't have happened. Nobody should have lost their life. No kids should have been shot. Shit, my family could have been down there if we would have gone down there. I think it was just all these emotions. I called my wife. I started crying. I was like, I don't know why I'm crying. I feel sad. I feel emotional. I was like, this is fucking stupid. Senseless acts of violence. It just makes no fucking sense. And I'm not going to get into, like, the whole gun thing and whether that, I mean, I'm not getting into that conversation today or any day because I really don't know the answer. I mean, we try to figure it out, but it ain't ever going to happen. We have people on this side and this side of the spectrum. We got to find somewhere to meet in the middle. We got to figure this out. A lot of it has to do with people being fucking violent, too. It's a lot of things. It's not just one thing. But until we just got to keep talking, try to figure something out. I don't know what the solution is. I don't have one. I have no problem with people owning guns legally. But these guns were stolen. So how do you stop criminals from stealing guns and getting them illegally? Like, how do we stop that? That's the question. I mean, shit, now me and my wife are talking about getting, you know, a firearm for home protection and making sure our daughters know gun safety and know how to use it. Which I have no problem with people owning guns. Like, I just want it done, like, legally, but, like, how do you stop criminals from getting guns illegally? How do you stop them from stealing them? I mean, that's maybe the real conversation we need to have. I don't know. You have people here on the right, and you have people over here on the left. And we're so far apart, like, nothing ever gets done. I don't know what it is. I have no answers. I really have no answers of, like, how we fix the issue. And a lot of it is just people being violent. And there's criminals. The guns were stolen. And they shot up. They weren't even shooting at people. They're trying to shoot at each other or shoot to get into an argument with. And then innocent people got hurt. Innocent people lost their life. We just got to be thankful that there wasn't more fatalities. I mean, more people that got lost their life. I mean, I don't even know. I have no more words. Rest in peace, Lisa. And when I saw her picture on Facebook and somebody shared it, I was like, this lady looked familiar. I've seen her before. And then my wife mentioned to me the next day, they're like, yeah, that's because she was a DJ. And that was, like, the lady that would always, like, DJs. Because my wife's Hispanic, so anytime it was, like, Cinco de Mayo or, like, one of the Hispanic events, like, on Mexican Independence Day, we're always going to them. And I was like, she was like, yeah, she always DJs at those type of events. I'm like, okay, that's where I've seen her before. So it's like, Lisa's like, everybody seems to have known of her or have heard of her before. And it's like, so rest in peace. The family is doing great. I donated money to the GoFundMe they had for her. I know there's multiple GoFundMes for other victims. I know the Chiefs had one made for, like, Casey Strong, where it goes to different people, goes to the hospital, go to the victims, it goes to first responders. So if you out there, just donate. I remember one guy called on Sports Talk last week, said if something you can do, donate blood. Because people do need blood. There's people out there, you know, if you get shot and you lose blood, they need blood. So if you're out there, if you can't give money, go donate blood. You help save a life. Somebody needs blood blood fusion needs blood because they're losing blood. If you donate, you do both. So I donated. I plan to donate to the other ones too, the KC Strong that Chiefs have. I know there was another GoFundMe. But shout out to everybody donating. Shout out to, like, Taylor Swift donated $100,000. Travis Kelce donated $100,000. Mahomes, I think he donated. I know he donated at least 50. I think he might have donated $100,000 too. But shout out to everybody just continues to donations and things like that. And hope just shit like this just keeps happening. It's sad. Especially on a day when we're supposed to celebrate. But, I just hope everybody can recover. I hope the children that were shot, I hope it doesn't traumatize them. I know it is. I know when I got shot, anything that sounded like a gunshot just triggered me. And now, and that was that way for a few years. Even 4th of July. So, when I got shot, it triggered me. Anything I heard that sounded like a gunshot, I was on the ground. I was ducking. I was like, I'm not going through this shit again. Even if I remember one time at the movies, we're outside and a car took off and the exhaust pipe made that gun sound noise. I was on the ground running. I was like, what the fuck is that? Oh, I saw the car driving. I was like, oh, I thought somebody was shooting from the car. So the first few years after after I got shot, it was anything that sounded like a gunshot triggered me. And then when the 4th of July came, maybe that first one, if I knew a firework was going off, I'd be like, okay, fireworks going off. But if so, where it was a surprise firework or something that sounded like a gunshot, I'm like, what the fuck was that? So, nothing, triggers. But I'm, anything that sounds like a gunshot, I'm like, what was that? It doesn't trigger me to get dicked down. I'm just, more aware, 4th of July, I know fireworks are going off. It doesn't trigger me unless, a surprise firework goes off that triggers me. The fuck was that? But, yeah, it's so hopefully, especially the kids, hopefully they get the help they need and just talk it out. I know, stuff that might sound like a gunshot is going to be triggering. Just talk it out. But other than that, I hope nothing. I just don't want nothing ever to happen like that again. Anywhere in the world. It's senseless violence that didn't need to happen. But before I move on from that, I got one more thing. And I didn't mention it last week on social media in light of the whole shooting, but now I'm going to fucking mention it. Listen, this is just the people in general. So we went to the parade. And I said I wanted to get there early, but we left at 7 from the house. We got there. People were already lined up. I get it. There's no spots in front. Okay, everything was taken. We were just trying to find a good spot. It was maybe close. We found this spot over by the Storage Mart on Grand. I think it was between 7th and 8th Street. We found a spot, right? We're like, okay, we'll chill here. We'll do here. We have people in front of us. I get it. People been up there since 6:30. The people that told us they'd been up there since 6:30. They got the chairs out. They're sitting out. We got our chairs out. You bring your chair, you sit out, right? When the parade starts, right? You know it's starting. It's about to start. You fold up your chairs. You put them on the ground so people can get closer, right? So you're there. You fold up your chairs. You get closer. You have the people that are by the guardrail, right? Other people behind them fold up the chairs. They get a little bit closer. People behind them, which would have been us, we fold up our chairs. We get closer. People can get closer and kind of see the players that walk by. Maybe get a handout. Maybe get a high five. Maybe get an autograph. You see them on the bus. When they're on the bus, doesn't matter where you are. But a lot of players get off the bus and they're walking, they're slapping hands, high-fiving. Some may even come sign autographs. So you want to try to get close to maybe if you got something you want to get autographed, whatever. Listen, I tell you right now, some people can be assholes, especially the children. So we got there. We set up our stuff. There was a group had been there since 6:30. And listen, I'm not trying to get to the front. I just want to get closer. I want my kids to get closer. I want the people that we had with us to get closer. Because some of the people we had, it was their first time at a championship parade like this. So I want them to get closer so they can see. So they had all their chairs out. At one point, me and my wife, and we already knew, even before the parade started, me and my wife looked at each other like, these people are going to be difficult about moving their chairs. So at one point, my littlest daughter got into a place, wasn't in front of nobody. She's like 4 foot eight. No, not 4 foot eight. She's like 4 foot, about 4'8", 4'7", somewhere around there. Not tall. Like, all you gotta do is stand, you'll see over, right? She just finds a place close to the front. Nobody made a big deal about it. Some older, maybe 20-year-old, yelling like, whose daughter is this? My wife is talking like, that's my daughter. And then the lady was like, well, she can't be up front. I've been here since 6:30. I'm like, lady, she's not blocking your view. So anyway, my daughter just stood over. I told her, just stay over there. You're fine. You're not hurting nobody. She didn't cut in front of nobody. She wasn't blocking nobody's view. Then my wife somehow stuck over there with her just to be by her. And me and my other daughter and the rest of the people we were stayed where we were. Because we're like, we'll just stay here. Because I'm assuming the people are going to put the chairs down, fold them up, and they're going to move closer so we can get closer. Like how it's fucking supposed to be. So, parade starts. The one groups in front of us kind of moved the chairs. They had a stroller there, so they just stacked everything on there. But then there was like another row of chairs in front of them. Some individuals didn't move their chair and using it as a barricade for the people in front of them. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So we couldn't get closer because they had their chairs up. That's not the fucking way it works. It's not about you being there at 6:30. Nobody was trying to cut in front of you. The chairs had, I don't know how to, this much room. I don't know if you can see it, but we go here. We go wide. Like, we have this much room from like here. You see where this hand is? And my hand go way out here. Right? This, I don't fucking know how to do it. We have this much room. They could have folded the chairs. We could have got closer behind them. We were trying to get in front of them. We were trying to get closer behind them. Because usually, last year how it worked, when the parade started, we unfolded our chairs, put it down, and then people, like, kind of smushed, and they're not, like, pushing. And if they start pushing, be like, hey, we got some kids in front of us, can you just back up a little and not push? And cool about it. I'm not going to be up there and, like, pushing people. And if I am, and somebody says, hey, can you scoot back, pushing, got some kids up here, I'll be like, cool, I'm not trying to get in front of the kids. I don't want to hurt nobody. I'm just trying to reach out there, you know, high-five a player, maybe take a shot with them, drink a beer, whatever the case may be. But we had these people being jerks, want to keep the chairs up, and we couldn't get any closer. And then over here, my daughter and my wife were over there, my other daughter, the smallest one that had snuck over there, wasn't a nobody way, has some grown-ass man being an asshole to a child. You could literally let my daughter in front of you would still be able to fucking see. Yeah, you would still be able to see. You would still be able to get a high five. She was not impairing your view from seeing. But you want to be an asshole and try to block her out and talk a little shit. Because I know how adults do when it comes to this thing. Because the same thing has happened to me at Chiefs training camp. Where the whole group of individuals left their chairs up. When it was time for the autograph session. If you've ever been to Chiefs training camp, they got the hill. That's where all the players usually go for the autographs. And so after people get closer, they left about 10, 15 chairs up. Didn't stack them down so people get closer. They're like, we've been here since 5 o'clock. Good for you. And you don't own all this fucking space. The same thing happened to parade this year. It didn't happen last year. Last year was great. We were there. We were able to get close. We didn't get in front of nobody. We were next to people. We were good. This year, no. I don't want to call people. I don't want to call adults assholes, but that's how they were acting. I wasn't even saying. I was just like, I wanted to tell one of the guys, like, you can put the chairs down. We get a little bit closer too. It wasn't even that. What was blowing my mind is that they kept their chairs up. They didn't even get closer. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? You either put your fucking chairs down and get closer or back the fuck out. You don't get to make this barricade. That's not how this works. It's not a VIP area. And I saw some VIP areas that I didn't know, they didn't do that last year. Maybe they did. I saw some, I was like, oh, so you could just like buy an area and just like block it off. They didn't have that. They acted like they own that fucking part. No, you don't. If there's no VIP, there's no like specific fold your fucking chairs down, scoot close, and then we scoot closer. That's how it works. Am I mistaken? I must be off my rocker. Because if I get there, and I'm already in the front, I got my chairs on. Yeah, I'm going to have my chairs out, sit down. I'm not going to fucking stand until the parade starts. I'm going to sit down and enjoy myself. But as it gets closer, maybe like 15 minutes before the actual parade starts at the area in of where it starts, okay, time to start cleaning up, stacking these chairs down, put them on the ground. We'll lay them right there. Hey, y'all can scoot up a little, but you're not getting in front of us. We weren't trying to get in front of us. We just wanted to get closer, like how it's supposed to fucking work. But adults being fucking assholes to children is, you're a fucking asshole. Don't yell at my kid. Don't be a jerk. You're a grown-ass man. You're a grown-ass woman. Don't be an asshole. That's all I have. Next year, if we win the Super Bowl, I swear to God, I am going to buy my own VIP section. And whoever RSVPs for it, it probably just... I swear to God, I'm going to buy a VIP section. I'm going to have a whole fucking whatever taped off. And I'm going to put the adults. I'm gonna be like, you can RSV for this. I'm going to have my own kids. I'm going to have any cousins I got that have kids. They want to come. They're going to have first dibs. But other than that, you RSVP. You come down here. Show me your RSVP. You get in here. Kids up front, adults in back in the store, in my VIP area. That's what they need. And especially at Chiefs training camp. They need to have a section where kids is just kids only, no adults. Because adults are assholes when it comes to trying to get player autographs or a high five. So next year, if we win the Super Bowl and three-peat, I'm taking out some money and I'm finding the building. I might go in front of P&L and be like, hey, I need to buy off a section. I need a VIP. You want to come to my VIP? You RSVP. You ain't got to pay money. It's just, I'm going to keep it to this certain number. You come, you have, only if you have kids. If you ain't got kids, fuck you. You don't get to come to my VIP. You got kids, fool. Kids are in front in my VIP section. However far it goes, it's taped off. Adults are in back in the story. Kids up front, adults in back. I'll be able to see everything over these kids. So I ain't fucking worried about it. I don't need to be up front. And if I get there early enough, my kids are going to be in front of me anyway. And my wife, because she's short too. And so she can't really see that well if she has tall people standing behind her. But next year, if we win three-peat, I'll buy a VIP section. I'm going to have family and friends that have kids come first. And then I'll have some spots RSVP. You RSVP, you show me, boom. Kids in front, adults behind them. End of story. And if I get there early, if I don't do anything like that, and I get there early, I swear to God. And if I don't do that, I'm camping out. I'm getting our section. I'm going to bring like 15 chairs. I'm like, yeah, this is us. But when the parade starts, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to break down the chairs, put them on the ground, get to my spot where I need to be, get to where my kids can be. I'm going to be behind them. We're going to be right here. We'll have our area. And then everybody can scoot up and get behind us. I'm not going to keep the chairs up like an asshole. That's all I have on that. I got it. People are stupid. And not nice to children. Not nice at all. Grow the fuck up. That's all I have to say about that. You know what? I need to take a deep breath. I've been holding that in since last week. And I didn't want to talk about it last week. I didn't want to go on social media and blab about that after what happened because it wasn't the time or the place. Now it's the fucking time and place. Who's ever in front of us, you didn't put your fucking chairs down, you're a bunch of assholes. I don't care. I don't care. You're a bunch of jerks being jerks to children. You don't own the fucking space. You don't. Learn how this works. You're at a parade, you're at a big event like that. You've been there all morning. Good. When it starts, you break down your chairs. You scoot closer. People fill in behind you. That's all I have on it. I'll do a whole episode about this if I need to. But let's get it. Hold on. Let me. Let me get some laughing. Need some. Anyways, so let's get it into this. I'm sorry, I went on a rant there. I apologize for cursing. I mean, I curse most of my episodes, most of this podcast, but it is what it is. This ain't for the faint of heart, I'll tell you that. But let's get to the Super Bowl. As you know, the Chiefs already won. I don't even really want to talk. I don't want to get into the game in general like that. Like, I'm not here to break this shit down. I'm here just overall in general. I ought to just talk about how the day went. And then, so, leading up to the game, like Friday, like I remember I told you my anxiety by Friday was going to hit. It really did hit. A little bit, it spiked a little. It wasn't like I was anything. I don't know. I was dealing with a runny nose, dealing with a little bit of a cold, and dealing with some other things. I was like, I'm not feeling good. And so I was trying to get over that. So maybe that's why Saturday, I don't even remember what the fuck we did Saturday. What the fuck did we do Saturday? I think went shopping to get stuff for the food, get the balloons. Oh my God, getting the fucking balloons. When did we get them? We got them Saturday. I swear I was in that line for an hour in like 20 minutes at Party City. I felt like I was at a fucking ride at Disney World. Like, in here we move like two steps. You still see the same scenery. Move another two steps every 20 minutes. I'm like, is that the ride up there? Is that the front of the line where they give us our balloons? I don't know. Maybe they need a different system at Party City. Got balloons, went shopping to get the food that we're going to cook. Woke up Sunday, nothing. Anxiety wasn't spiked. I was just like, I just want to get to the game. Cook food, grilled, order some pizzas, had some people, had some family come over, watch the game. I mean, when we got to like, after I got done cooking, I was able to finally like sit and be like, oh shit, this game is about to happen like next 4 hours, right? I hate when they show that fucking timer on like the countdown. It's like 3 hours until kickoff. I'm like, I don't need to see this shit right now. Like, exactly. When we got to about 3 hours until kickoff, my anxiety was spiking. I was like, oh my God, just hurry up and get to this fucking game. I cannot deal with this shit. We go through all this. I'm like, oh my God. We get to 2 hours. I'm like, oh my God. 30 minutes. Oh my God. Players are coming out. I'm like, yes, players are coming out. Still another 20 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, we still got to do. Somebody still got to sing this anthem, sing America the Beautiful. And the national anthem, I'm like, oh my God, just get to the kickoff. Just get to it. By that time, my anxiety is spiking. Kickoff happens. Anxiety goes down. Like, once the game starts, it starts. Like, nothing I can do about it. Right? I swear to you. And, like, I hadn't even started drinking yet. Like, I'll tell you at this time, I hadn't drank for 13 weeks. Sunday was, like, that 13th week. And I was like, oh, 13. That's Taylor Swift's favorite number. That's what my daughter told me. It's like, I guess I got to drink this day. But I hadn't started. I was planning to drink on the Super Bowl. And then after that, if we won, I would have drank on the parade. But I had gone 13 weeks. I was like, 13 weeks. I guess I got to break it and keep it at 13, right? So I didn't start drinking until like fourth quarter. But like the first half, like I'm sitting there watching the game. I'm like, I felt nothing. It was the most bizarre fucking thing ever. Me and my wife were the exact same way. Like, the game was going on, and I felt nothing. I'm watching it, kickoff, like, I felt nothing in terms of, like, I felt no nerves. I felt like, I didn't feel, like, nerves. I didn't have no anxiety. I had no nerves. It was just even keel. Like, I was like, I had no feeling if we were going to win. To lose. I got excited every time a big play happened. Like when Christian McCaffrey came, I was like, fumble, that's fumble, let's go. Like, I don't know what the fuck it was. It was the most bizarre thing. It didn't happen. I didn't feel that way in the play Baltimore or Buffalo. Like, I was nervous this game. This game, like the first half, like I felt fucking nothing. My wife was the exact same thing. We felt no like nerves or anxiety. We're just sitting there watching the game. I don't know if it was like we just couldn't process that we're in the Super Bowl. I don't know what the fuck it was. It was bizarre, weird. Like, I've never felt like that before. She had been drinking, but I hadn't been drinking yet. It was just bizarre. every time a big play happened, you got excited. But other than that, like the first half, like you hear people come here and say like how the first half wasn't good, but the second half was great. No, the first half was good. It's just that it wasn't your team, and I understand it. But to me, you know, pretty good first half. I mean, overall, the game was great. The game was great. I mean, the 49er fans may not feel that way, but if you really sit down and watch it, like, overall, all four quarters plus overtime was great. Like, you got five quarters of football. How can you complain? People want to sit here and say, oh, the first half was defense. No, it was great. It was 49ers came out and punched Chiefs in the mouth on the defensive side of the ball. They couldn't get nothing going. I was like, well, we got to stop throwing these short passes. They're not working, these little screens. And then we get the big pass to Mecole Hardman, and then we fumble. The next play, Pacheco fumbles. I'm like, oh, my God, you shoot yourself in the foot. There goes a turnover. But our defense didn't play well in the entire game. It was the offense that struggled in the first half. And I won't say that it wasn't that they weren't ready. I think they were just getting out physical. 49ers were being more physical. They were dominating the interior of the ball. San Francisco's defensive line was dominating with the four-man pressure. That's what it was. They were being more physical. What we were doing wasn't working. They were prepared for what we were going to do, and they were being more physical at the line of scrimmage. I think they had a game plan, and they went out and tried to execute the game plan, and it didn't work. 49ers had something better. And that happens. I'm not saying that, like, one person said they were shell-shocked. I don't think they were shell-shocked. I just think the front four of San Francisco was being more physical against our line, and they were prepared for what we were going to do. Little short passes, little dump-offs, the little screens. I was like, that ain't working. I was like, this ain't going to work against that team. And we couldn't really get the ball, you know, moving in the run game. They were containing lanes, not letting Patrick Mahomes run, which they did a real good job of. And I don't think it was shell shy. I just think it was one of those things where they had a game plan that was working. And our game plan wasn't working, obviously. Now, defensively for us, I mean, I don't think they did anything special. I mean, their first touchdown, they had to do a trick play. I don't think Christian McCaffrey – I mean, I'll get to that in a minute. Like, I don't think Christian McCaffrey was doing a whole bunch of damage running the ball or catching out of the backfield. I mean, yeah, he had the play, but it was a trick play. Like, if you watch Mic'd Up, you see Chris Jones talking to the defense, like, they can't mess with us. They can't fuck with us. And then Coach Spags was like, yeah, they had to run a trick play to score a touchdown. And Chris Jones was like, exactly, Coach. They can't mess with us. They really couldn't. They had to run a trick play to get a touchdown because the other one, they held him to a field goal. And then, I mean, like, nothing spectacular happened in the first half, but what we have to do is it was the defensive first half, which I had no mind. Like I said, like the first half to me, even the third quarter, like I felt nothing. I was like, I don't know. I just felt nothing. It's bizarre, but like that. But the turnover, they got the turnover. We turned them over, and then we get right back later on, and didn't do nothing with that turnover, and then we get a deep pass to Hardman, which. We go back. That was a beautiful pass. That was put right in the bed, Brad's Hardman. Ooh, I was like, oh, I wish he could have scored on that play. But that was a great pass. But then we fumble, give it right back. You know, defense is doing great, keeping them out of scoring two touchdowns, basically. Like I said, the one was a trick play. They couldn't score on us just normally. I mean, eventually it did, but to get that first touchdown, they had to do a trick play. And you're like, yeah, you got to pull out all the stops in this fucking Super Bowl. There's no tomorrow. There's no next week. But at least we get a field goal to go into halftime. And we're only down, 10-3? So we're down some points. I can't fucking do math. I'm thinking. Yeah, we're down by a score, a touchdown, an extra point. So we're feeling really good in the halftime. I'm not going to go into the halftime show. Maybe just a little after I'm done talking about the game. But, yeah, we're down 10-3, down by a score. Like, you couldn't ask for anything better. I mean, really, if you really think about it, they could have been up 21-3. Maybe even 17-3. But we're 10-3. 10-3 and a half. You feel real good. As a Chiefs 49ers, you're kind of like, eh. You're kind of worried, maybe. I don't know. I really couldn't tell you how 49er fans were feeling. But as a Chiefs fan, I was just feeling like, even keel still. Still had no, like, emotional, like, nerves of like, oh my god, we might lose this game. I didn't even have no thing of, like, we might win this game. No, it was not. Maybe it was because I just, I don't know if it was that, like, maybe it was just some confidence that I wasn't even thinking of. Maybe I was like, maybe subconsciously I'm thinking, we're going to win this game. Like, I'm not worried. Because I felt no emotion the first three quarters. Until we got down to the fourth, like late in the fourth. So 3.5 quarters, I felt no emotion of like, we could lose this game. Even when we came out and said, I was like, okay, 10-3, we're coming out, we get the ball in the second half. What the fuck happens? On the very first play. A toss to Pacheco. Drops it. Lost to 22. I mean, not lost to 22, but lost to 12. Now it's second and 22. Very next play. Mahomes throws an interception. He throws an interception. I'm like, I'm still like this. Like, I'm like, it takes four quarters to win a football game. And, her cousin, my wife's cousin was like, oh, it's over. And I was like, I don't think. Because what'd they get? They didn't get anything out of that. Because the next time they scored a touchdown, they were going from right to left. They didn't get anything. They had a punt on that. So when he threw that interception, I was like, I don't know what it was. I just didn't feel. I didn't feel defeated. Maybe it was, I was confident. You know what? I don't know. Maybe I was just confident, but they threw the interception. 49ers weren't able to capitalize, had a punt. Because at the point, it was, because the next time they scored, Jenny scored, but he was going the other way from right to left. When he threw the interception, we were going right to left. But they didn't get anything off it because our defense is tough. Maybe I just had this subconscious of, like, confidence. I was like, I'm not worried right now. I'm not worried until I had to be. But, we go back and forth, and then, then we get to the fourth quarter. Nothing's happened. I think, then we scored a touchdown. So we punt the ball. Oh, yeah, no, third quarter. Yeah, I think we get the ball back again after we turned it over. We get the ball. Again, because they had a punt. We're not moving it. We punt again. I didn't know the ball hit the guy's foot, the gunner's foot. I just saw a punt happen. Returner trying to pick up the ball. And I'm thinking, why the fuck is he trying to pick up the ball? And then we jump on him. I'm like, that's our ball. That's our ball. And my whole thing, I'm like, why did he try to pick up the ball? It hit the gunner's foot. And like in football, if you're a punt returner, you have two gunners that are blocking, or two people that are blocking the gunners. And you're blocking, so they don't know where the ball is. So it's your job as a returner to say, ball, he was pointing. I'm assuming words are coming out of his mouth and not him just, ball. I'm assuming he was saying, ball's right there, move. Because usually you have a code word. I know when I was coaching football this year and I've played football, it's always been alert, alert, alert. That means the ball is bouncing. Find it. Get the fuck away. Just run towards the sideline. Move. Because usually the ball's bouncing. You don't know where the fuck is going. So you're just trying to get as far away as possible. So I don't know if he was just pointing like, ball's right there. Ball's where? I can't see. So I'm assuming he was yelling, but I don't know what he was saying. I don't know what their code word is. I know if I was returning, I'd be like, alert, alert, the ball is bouncing right in front of you. Move! Like, say something. But that's why he tried to grab. I don't know why he tried to pick it up and grab. If you saw it hit dude's foot, why not just fall on it? Sometimes you just gotta fall on the ball. So I'm like, okay, I was excited. Then, like I said, like I wasn't excited. Like I got excited for every big play that happened for us. You see, that happened. I was like, yeah! And then we scored the very next play. MVS gets the Super Bowl gets a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Big Cats is in the divisional round and AFC championship. Boy, MVS coming to play. He like playoff Link Clark. Call him playoff MVS. You know what I'm saying? But we get that touchdown. I think that just like changed the whole momentum. That's where my confidence grew. I was like, yep. I was like, we're going to win this game. Because because at that time we made it 13. Before that, we had got a field goal. We got stalled. This was an important field goal. Because before the punt, in the turnover on the punt, it was 6-10. Because then we went up 13-10. Now that I'm remembering, that field goal before the punt turnover, not the first one, but was it the first one? One of those two field goals it was the first one because the other kicker had one, Moody on the 49ers, where he kicked it. It was longest field goal, 55 yards in Super Bowl history. And then it was our field goal before halftime. Bucker got 57 yards. Now he holds the record for the longest field goal. But that was a very important field goal. That one right there. If you heard me say this before, I heard it somewhere else on the radio, and I agree with it. There's like 5 to maybe 7 plays that determine the outcome of the game, right? This is one of them. Our first field goal, because it was a high snap, and Bucker was able to get it. Shout out to fucking Tommy Townsend for getting that snap down, and Bucker had to change the trajectory of his kick and make it more of a line drive, and it still went through. That special teams, it takes all three phases of the fucking football game to win a football game. You need all three phases to be clicking. Right there, we don't make that field goal, maybe we don't win the game. Maybe we don't have an opportunity to win the game. But that was a very high snap. Townsend, everybody getting down. I was like, oh, that's a high snap. Oh, he needs line drives to throw. I was like, bro. Shout out to Tommy Townsend and Bucker for doing what they do on that field goal. But, by the time, before the punt, we're at 10-6. Get the punt, get the turnover, score on the very next play, 13-10. Right there, after that touchdown, momentum shifting. We felt the shift. I'm like, telling my wife, like, momentum shifting. I'm like, we're going to win this game 13-10. It's going to be Taylor's favorite number. I was wrong. What did they get? They get the touchdown in the fourth, because now they're going right to left if you're watching on TV. They get the touchdown to Jennings. I'm like, starting to move the ball. I'm like, here's the thing. Like, I'm okay with, like, Jennings getting the touchdown because you're stopping everybody else. Yeah, Christian McCaffrey had the fucking touchdown, but it was on a trick play, right? Debo's not doing anything. Kittle's not doing anything. McCaffrey's really not doing anything. So you got – we'll take away your guy, your top-tier guy. You make somebody else beat us. And that's what it is. It was Jennings because he had the touchdown pass on the trick play, and then he had a couple other catches, and then he had the touchdown that puts him up – after the touchdown puts him up 16-13. This was the other key play. Actually, this was the third key play. The first one was the field goal that we made with the high snap. The second one was the punt, turnover. This is the third key play. After the touchdown, after the Jennings touchdown in the fourth quarter, the block extra point. Because now it makes it 13-16, and we're only down by a field goal. So all we need is a field goal to tie the game, right? That was the third big key play in the game, with the fourth quarter extra point after the Jennings touchdown. I know it was a low block, but we still got our hand up and we still blocked it. You can't ask for more. Now we're only down by 3, right? We get there. I'm thinking. I had to kick the field goal. Yeah. I read that the time is 13-3. We get the ball. We score another field goal. We make it 16-16. They come down. They get the ball. They're driving. Eventually, they get to a 3rd and 4. Under 2 minutes. We're already at the 2-minute warning. We're like under 2 minutes. I'm like, this is the fourth key play of the game. This is the one. if they get the first down, they can just run down the clock, kick field goal. Maybe we got 15, 20 seconds left, but we have no timeouts. Third and four. You got to pull out your best play. Because if you watch Mike up, you even hear the ref say it. The head official is like, you got to pull out your best play. Because you don't want to give Mahomes the ball back. Because about this time, yeah, we were right at 2 minutes, I think. I was like, damn. I was like, I told my wife, I was like, they get this. They can just pretty much just wind down the clock and kick a field goal. I mean, granted, he still had to make the field goal to win the game. But I was like, third and four. Oh, let's go. Let's get a stop. Get it. Now, this exact moment is where my nerves are taking the fuck off. Now, everything. Now, I'm no longer even killing. I'm up here. I'm pacing back and forth in my spot. My wife's, I had to move my chair out of the way because I needed room to walk. We had the projector up, and I needed a room just to walk back and forth. My wife is in there. We're, like, in the same area. Like, we didn't leave our little area. We're, like, we're just going to stay over here. We're going to kind of nudge each other. Like, oh, my God. So that thing, when it got to the fourth, when it got to probably 5 minutes left in the fourth, anxiety spiking out the wazoo. Spiking out the wall. Now I'm pacing back and forth. Now I'm getting nervous. Now we ain't here. We here. 34. I'm like, oh my God, if they get this, game is pretty much over. Aside from him not making a field goal. Trent fucking McDuffie is one of the best fucking blitzing corners and is very good at timing that shit up. Because he came at the very last second to where they could not see that he was coming. He gets in line of sight, knocks down the ball, and I'm like, no flags. Now they got to kick the field goal. So all you can ask for is to hold them there to kick the field goal. Give us time on the clock because we had about minute 50. You know, hell yeah. Mahomes been playing good, except for the one bad pass. Start the fucking second half. The first half, it is what it is. But we changed the game plan. We went to something different. That's also... They had a game plan for us in the first half, but we knew we had to go do something different. We got to start pushing the ball downfield. We got to start doing this. We can't do these little short things because they're all over it. We go down, boom, boom, boom. We get down. Kelce, we get to the play. Kelce screaming across the middle. Catch it. I've never seen Kelce move that fast. That boy was booking. That's probably... I probably had to be the fastest he ever ran in his career. And I've seen him move, and like he's quick for his size, and he can run for his size. But that one, he was booking. He had to be at least running 20 plus miles an hour. He was booking. And he got there, and then what was about, where after that play, we were in field goal range. Was it about 10 seconds? Was that the next play he throws, or did we run one more after that? I'm trying to think. So I can't remember. But we get to the one play where is we get 10 seconds. I don't know if it was after that or maybe another play after that. But we get to it. He throws it up to Kelce in the corner. Kind of like it was kind of like the pass just in the opposite corner that he had in the Ravens game where he threw it and he back shoulder it falling down. Exact same type of pass, but just in the opposite corner. Didn't get it. It was good covers. My wife keeps saying that was passive. I was like, no, that was good coverage. Kick the field goal. We're going in overtime. I'm like, oh boy, I cannot do this. I remember the next day, you know, we won the game. And one, I think it was Dan Orlovsky saying, like, I mean, the Chiefs would have scored a touchdown and then in the regulation, they just ran out of time. I was like, yeah, you're right. You probably right. But that's why there's time. But we get to overtime. San Francisco calls the coin to us. They take the ball. I'm like, okay. Because if you know the new rules, since they got changed after the 13-second game, both teams possess the ball regardless if it's a touchdown. Unless it's like a defensive touchdown, then the game's over. But we get the ball. They drive down. They kicked. And then they get to that another crucial play. I remember about four crucial plays. I got the punt. I got the stopping on the third and four, the block, field goal, our field goal. I would say that Kelce play that he's screaming across the middle, crossing and then taking off, I would say that was one big key play to get us down in field goal range to tie the game before it went in overtime. So we're at five. They take the ball, right? In overtime, everybody's like, yeah. Sure. We get the ball. We get Mahomes gets it with four downs. That wasn't really crossing my mind. At this point, I can't really think. I just know each team gets the possession. That's all I know. Mama, at this point, I've been drinking now since halfway through the fourth quarter. And now I'm like, huh, I'm a nerves. I can't think right now. I don't care. So it didn't like occur to me about Mahomes getting four downs. I was like, oh, they take the ball first, whatever. I don't know. But that never really occurred to me. I was like, whatever. I just know we get to possess the ball whether you score a touchdown or not. But they drive down. They get to about the 15. Was it the 15, 20? Somewhere around there. Third and four. They have a good play called up. But we have a great defensive lineman named Chris Jones. And he was able to get through, penetrate. This is play number six. This was sixth. Play number six. He's able to get penetration, make Purdy go off his throw, not able to put it where it needs to be because Jennings does get open. And, hey, that's play number six. That was one of those crucial plays. Held him to a field goal. Now, I heard some people talking heads next week talking about, well, they should have went for it after that. I mean, you can. You don't get it. They have the ball there. And now the Chiefs got to play back to up. They don't have four downs. I get it. But I'm like, just take the points and make them have to go down and score. Right? I mean, if it was like fourth and one, not going to say fourth and three, nah. Fourth and four was like three or four. Nah, just keep the field goal. But that was a crucial play. And I heard some people say, oh, Brock Purdy needs to make that throw. I'm like, that's a tough throw. Real tough. You got to stare down the barrel of a blitzer. Well, here's the thing. I heard Chris Long say on Inside the NFL, and I totally agree with it. Like, Chris Jones coming through, he was supposed to be blocked, but he came unblocked. Because our defense, what we're in, we confused the offensive lineman of like, okay, what blitzer is coming? Oh, you got this guy, so I'm going to take this blitzer. Oh, wait, he's free right open. There's a difference between a lineman getting through and you identifying that free blitzer that you know is coming as a quarterback. And so Chris Jones, that wasn't that type of free blitzer. He's assuming that he's going to be blocked. I know the blitzer that's coming. And so I know where they're coming from. I know where they're going to be. So when Purdy's getting back, he's making this read. All of a sudden, he's got Chris Jones in his face. Like, where the fuck did he come from? I couldn't even, bro, I'll be honest. I wouldn't even expect Patrick Mahomes to make that if he's got an unblocked lineman that's supposed to be blocked and he's not expecting him coming. No, if it's one of those things where you know this guy is coming and you've ID'd the blitzer and that blitzer's coming and I got to stare down there and I can step in because I know they're coming. It's not the same thing as Chris Jones. Like, he's coming in here unblocked. Like, yeah, he didn't expect that. So I really can't sit here and say that Mahomes or Brady or Rodgers or Burrow or Allen or some other great quarterback could have made that exact same throw with a D lineman coming unabated to the quarterback like that. It is not necessarily an ID blitzer. Like, come on. So, but yeah, but that was another crucial play of him getting there and causing Purdy to overthrow and them having to kick a field goal. Now I was like, okay, our season's on the line, championship on the line, everything is fourth down. And when you have four downs, it changes the way you play call. Because now you can do certain stuff. Like even if it's second long, I can run it. I can gain some yards. And then on third down, I could throw it. Maybe I can run it again to even put it in a closer fourth and one if we don't get the first down. But it changes the way you play call. Seventh key play of the game. We ran on third and one. We didn't get it. Seventh key play right here. Fourth and one. And I go back. It happened on a play earlier in the game. I don't know if it was in the second half or the first half. I just remember Bosa on this run play earlier in the game. He crashed down so fucking hard. It was like a read option. He kept it. Mahomes broke out of here. I think he dumped it off. I just remember Bosa just crashing down real hard on this run play. It was like a play action. Mahomes able to roll out, get the ball out. They used that. They noticed that I think they started taking note that, hey, Bosa's crashing real hard on these run plays. Like, normally, like, you should have your DN crashing that hard. Like, you want them crashing, but you can't have them crashing that hard, because if they crash that hard and the quarterback keeps it, that DN cannot recover to get back, especially if there's nobody there. At least if you crash some, it's like, oh, I can try to recover and get back, right? He crashed hard on one play, and I took note of it. I was like, oh, he crashed real hard. I'm pretty sure, and I don't work for the Chiefs. I'm not on offensive staff. I'm not on coaching staff. I'm not sitting here. I took note of it, so I know damn sure hell they took note of it. Because all of them have tablets and be like, yeah, he crashed really hard. We can save that play. We can do that. What'd they do on 4th and 1 in overtime? What'd they do? They did like a sprint, run out option, be right back. Hold on, I'll be right back. Who's it? Hi! I'm back. I don't know what the wife in. Door was locked. But anyway, like I said, the crashing, I'm pretty sure they took note of it. I took note of it. I know damn well they took note of it. I was like, He crashed really hard, right? 4th and 1. They call it a brilliant play. It was an option. It wasn't even it was a play action. Running back was never getting his ball at all. They were just using that as an action to get Bosa to crash down. Roll out. The pass ain't there. Mahomes is taking off. I'm like, season on the line right here. What are we doing? Face it. Boom. Bosa crashes all the way down. Like, he's halfway, he's like past the center. Mahomes rolling out. I was like, oh, this is a good play. I was like, Kelsey's covered. Mahomes took off. If the guy that was covering Kelsey takes Mahomes, Kelsey's open. Kelsey's gaining yards. That run after catch. But he took Kelsey. The linebacker had to choose somebody, because everybody was flowing this way on the run, because Kelsey came in motion, lined up behind the guard. Kem's in motion, right to left, behind the guard, ball snapped, fake it this way, Kelsey comes back out this way into the flat, sprint out, Kelsey's covered by the linebacker, cool. Mahomes got 8 yards. Play. I was like, oh, my God. Wait, when he got that, I was like, man, I don't know. This is looking good. And then we get down, we get another play, time is running out. Meanwhile, this didn't never cross my mind. I thought the clock struck zero, the game was going to be over. Literally didn't cross my mind until, like, after it happened, and then I'll get to that in a moment. But we get down there, you get a little Kelsey screen. Kelsey almost scored. He got the first down. And then we come in here. What the fuck did the Chiefs do? They take advantage of your strengths and make them one of your – and then they make them a weakness. They knew Bosa was crashing, and they saved this play. Oh, they saved. They didn't run any other playoff game. Hell, I don't even know if they ran it during the season. They saved it. They know you ain't watched it. They ain't been on film. Listen, these coaches and football players are smart. They only go by what's on film. If they ain't seen it, they're not going to prepare for it, because they know they're not going to run it. If they haven't seen it on film, you can't prepare for it. You can kind of say, hey, you got to watch out for that play. You don't know what's coming. What did the Chiefs do? Time running down. Because now when you go back and look at it, San Francisco didn't know the fucking rules of overtime. I was losing my mind thinking, call timeout. What are we doing? But then it later made sense. Like, after they scored, I was like, oh, they do. They're still in their possession, so even if the time ran out, it didn't fucking matter. You just start a new quarter on the other end of the field. Because now, when I thought about it, like I said, I haven't been drinking, so like all these thoughts are running through my mind. I'm just wanting them to score before the time runs out, because I'm thinking, oh my God, the game's going to end. But they weren't panicking. I was like, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. But I'm assuming San Francisco was thinking they're going to call a timeout, kick a field goal, we'll go into another overtime. Right? But then I remember, I'll get to the play in a minute, but I had to remember after the game, I was like, my uncle's like, San Francisco thought they were going to kick a field goal before time ran out. And I was like, no. And then the announcer said, I was like, oh, okay, now that makes sense. Now, I mean, I told my uncle, I was like, they get a possession. They're still in their possession. So whether the clock runs out is irrelevant because they're still in the possession. I was like, oh. And then I remembered playing Madden. And anytime you play Madden, it's all, and you go to overtime, it's the playoff rules. It's the playoff overtime rules. Each team gets a possession. And I remember playing, and the quarter ran out. I was like, I hadn't scored yet. And I was like, quarter ran out. I was like, oh, game over. I was like, and then it went to another quarter. I was like, we're still in our possession. And that didn't cross my mind at the time. So I was confused, like San Francisco probably at the time, thinking, oh, they're going to kick a field goal because time's running out. But it was brilliant by the Chiefs the way they did it. They're like, we'll let the clock run. We're not going to kick a field goal. We're going here and run this play. I don't think San Francisco was prepared for it. I think the Chiefs took them completely by surprise because San Francisco was probably wondering, like, they gotta call timeout before the time runs out because they didn't know the rules. And, like, at that moment in time, I didn't know the possession. Like, oh, they're still in their possession. Duh. Even if the time runs out, it doesn't fucking matter. But they go back to a play. Probably hadn't been on film all year. So they don't know it's coming. They, like I said, what is ever on film, that's what they prepare for. But when you're playing Chiefs, you should just prepare for everything. You should just have it in the back of your mind. Like, hey, be aware that this could happen at any moment. What do they run? They run the exact same damn play they ran last year. Corn dog. They ran it twice, basically, last year. And the one, Sky Moore, he was there lined up in the wrong formation and still scored. But I think the corn dog one was... the corn dog was with Sky Moore, right? Because the Kadarius Toney ran the same play. Anyway, it was basically the same play, the variation of those two. The only thing that was different in this one, Tom and Jerry, F shuttle, trips left. What was it? Trips right, trips left, F shuttle. Yeah, it was trips right, F shuttle, Tom and Jerry. Only difference between this and corn dog, like Reed said, it was basically corn dog with a little bit of extra mustard. Brilliant fucking play. What happens? Apparently, they did want to get the ball to McKinnon in that play so he could score his touchdown because last year he did the smart thing and slid to make time run down. But apparently, they were wanting to give him to McKinnon. But like I said, they took note of Bosa crashing down really hard on run plays on what could be a run play. And what did he do? And what did they add in this? They added that. Like, it was a run-pass option. It was a run-pass option because he could have ran it. If he had room and nobody was open, he probably would have ran it. It wouldn't have mattered because it was first down. So, what did he do? There was a motion. Boom. Hardman comes in motion. He fakes to McKinnon. He sees Joey. He sees Nick Bosa crash down really hard. He keeps it this time. On two previous ones, there's no sprint out. This time, he's rolling out. But if you look at him, he puts his eyes on Kelsey, who's like right up there and bunched up at the line in this part of the end zone. He puts his eyes there. Everybody flows that away. And then he puts his eyes to Hardman and says, such a brilliant fucking play. Executed it really fucking well. But like that part of Joey Bosa crashing down really hard. And like, yeah. And then Mahomes keeping his eyes here, get everybody to go towards Kelsey and be like, we got that over there. Tom and Jerry. In the game, basically zero time left. We got five quarters of football. And that's how we came Super Bowl champs. That's all I got. I was so fucking excited. I lost my mind. I went and ran in the middle of the street. We were in a dead end street anyway, so it don't fucking matter. I'm screaming. Everybody's screaming. You hear fireworks going off. Celebration, baby. Super Bowl champs. And I have no more, man. This is great. Like, I was so excited. Like, we took celebratory shots. We went to P&L. I'm running down through the streets of P&L. I'm in downtown. It was, oh my God, it was so great. I loved every bit of it. Oh, man, these Super Bowl victories just don't get old. I tell you right, listen, this was my favorite. The first one we had in 2019 was Super Bowl 54. That was more emotional. One, because it was like the first one in 54 years, and I never thought in my lifetime I would see a Super Bowl victory. I really thought that in my lifetime. Motherfucker, we got three. be very appreciative of this. My kids don't know. My kids are 13 and 15. They have no idea what the fuck we went through when we started going downhill. With playoff heartbreak, Scott Pioli. They have no idea. No idea. All the quarterbacks. I know, granted, we had Joe Montana, but he was past his prime. We had Elvis Gerbach, Brody Croy, Damon Hewitt. Trent Green was good. We had a 13-3 season. They have no idea what a no-punt game is. They have no idea what Lynn Elliott is. These young kids, they just come here and be Chiefs fans, just win Super Bowls. Not fair. They didn't have to go through the pain and suffering us adults did. Girl, if you over 30, if you over like 25, if you were born in like 1985 to 1990, you're born between anywhere from 85, I'd say anywhere from like 80. Well, I'm talking about like all the older people. They know what heartbreak is. They know they seen some shit where the Chiefs weren't even half people at their stadium. I was talking about like a group of people. If you're born from like 85 to 95, you know about Chiefs heartbreak. I'm not talking about before that. Before that, they didn't have no fans in the stadium. It wasn't until Carl Peterson got here and somehow got people to come and made us the best tailgating team fan-wise and getting Arrowhead packed and making it like we're the loudest stadium in the NFL. But they have no idea. No, Lynn Elliott, no idea. Losing to John Elway, no idea. Giving up a 28-point lead in the playoffs, no idea. No punt. Lose the game. 13-3 that season. What about the other game? We snuck into the playoffs because we won and two other people lost. We didn't get a first down to the second half. And that was against the Colts. All of our playoff fucking heartbreaks always came against the Colts. They don't know about the Tennessee game where Marcus Mariota caught his own pass and scored a touchdown. Or the Pittsburgh Steelers one. You just don't know. We had a guy named Tyler Thigpen as a quarterback. I'm going to enjoy every bit of this fucking Super Bowl. I ain't taking none of this for granted. It's really hard to process, too, sometimes. It's like mind-blowing. But I enjoy every bit of it, and I hope we get to go fucking three-peat. Oh, my God. I swear to God. I don't want to swear on God, but I swear I would lose my – I won't know what to do. I'll just sit there and be like, we the three-peat? We're the first team in NFL history to do that? That's wild. Like, even when other teams went back-to-back, I don't remember hearing this type of talk when the Patriots did it. Like, this seems like real talk. Like, this could actually happen. This is some things. I mean, things got to go our way. We got to stay healthy. But if we stay healthy, I really do think we can three-peat. And one other thing. If you never play high-level sports at a high competitive level with emotions involved, just shut the fuck up. You have no room to talk. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Travis Kelce bumping into Andy Reid. They have that type of relationship. That shit happens in football. Yelling, emotions. Sometimes people want to fight each other. It happens. It's fucking football. It's a high-level emotional game. Like, get the fuck over it. He bumped into him. Two plays later, they're cool. They're over there. Sorry, coach. You know how it is. He's like, I got you. They have that type of relationship. So when I sit here, I don't want to hear people say it's a bad look. It's stupid. He can't do that. Shut the fuck up. And it riles me up even when I hear former players say, oh, that's not a good look. I never do. Shut the fuck up. Come on. Even Shannon Sharp said, that's a bad look. Shannon Sharp, I know you've done some shit probably in your playing days. Come on now. I grew up watching you. Now, I was littler when I was watching you, but I know you probably done something. Come on now. You probably yelled at a coach and got in their face. Come on now. It happens. And when people say, that's not right, you're not showing the kids. Listen, shut the fuck up. This shit happens. If you can't handle it, don't watch. If you don't like it, don't watch. I don't care. I have no problem with it. Shit happens. It doesn't mean anything. He didn't want to be taken out of the game. He's like, your best player. Why? First of all, why is he out of the game in that moment? Because if he was in the game, he would have been the one blocking and not Noah Gray. Where Noah Gray was blocking the guy, and the guy got around Noah Gray and caused a fumble on Pacheco. We were in the red zone. So had he been in there, he would have been blocking that guy. And people say Kelsey's blocking is not good. Bullshit. Shut the fuck up. Stop it. He's just as good as blocker as any other tight end. His blocking is very underrated. I'm sorry. And that may be being a homer, but it is what it is. I love my team. I'm always going to root for my team. I'm never going to abandon them. It got bleak there, and we had the Scott Pioli days. Woo! But now we hit back-to-back fucking champions, 3 Super Bowls in, 5 years? We should have been, I don't know, we should have been, this should have been our 5th Super Bowl to be at. Right, 4th. No, 5th. We got 3 wins. We've been to 4 and 5. We should have been to 5 if D4 wasn't offsides. That game was ours. We might have won that one, so we just maybe have 4 Super Bowls. If I really want to get technical with it, I'm not going to say the one we should have won. We should have, but we didn't. I mean, they came out and kicked our ass. The Bengals in that one AFC Championship game. But the one where we didn't get a possession, but then the rules never got changed until after Buffalo, the 13-second game. We couldn't get the rules. We wanted the rules changed after the Patriots game when Mahomes didn't get a possession. But the game would have been over because we would have got the ball and just kicked the field goal after the interception of Brady, but D Ford was offside. It is what it is. We took advantage. It's funny. Buffalo traded with us to get Mahomes. We traded with them to get Mahomes. They're like, yeah, have these picks. Yeah, we'll take these picks. They get the overtime rules changed in the playoffs, and we finally get to see how it works, and it works to our advantage. Go figure. Thank you. And now we come in here and have a chance to really have a legit chance to three-peat. That's all I got. I ain't got no more. I just want to say to all the victims out there who happened to the parade, I hope you get through this. Rest in peace, Lisa. I hope your family's doing good. I hope they get through this. Man, we just gotta be more kind. Stop with the fucking violence. The violence is not the answer. It's not the key. We just need to talk and love each other and be kind. That's all I got. And until next Wednesday, I'm out. Peace.